This audio is brought to you by MuslimCentral.com.
السلام عليكم.
وعليكم السلام ورحمة الله وبركاته. How are you, شيخ؟
الحمد لله.
الحمد لله. إن شاء الله we're going to start the lesson.
يا الله.
الحمد لله رب العالمين والصلاة والسلام على رسول الكريم وعلى آله وصحبه أجمعين. أما بعد، السلام عليكم ورحمة الله وبركاته. Dear respected students, may Allah bless you all for your attendance. Today, on Friday, we are covering Kitab al-Tawheed. Alhamdulillah, this will be the second lesson of the series. Just a quick reminder, please take notes, listen attentively, and send your questions over to myself or the co-host throughout the course of the lesson. Barakallahu feekum wa jazakumullahu khairan. Assalamu alaikum.
Wa alaikum assalam wa rahmatullahi wa barakatuh. Bismillahir Rahmanir Rahim. Inna alhamdulillah, nahmaduhu wa nasta'inuhu wa nastaghfiruh. ونعوذ بالله من شرور أنفسنا ومن سيئات أعمالنا إنه من يهده الله فلا مضل له ومن يضلل فلا هادي له وأشهد أن لا إله إلا الله وحده لا شريك له وأشهد أن محمدا عبده ورسوله أما بعد فإن أصدق الحديث كتاب الله تعالى وخير الهدي هدي محمد صلى الله عليه وآله وسلم وشر الأمور محدثاتها وكل محدثة بدعة وكل بدعة ضلالة وكل ضلالة في النار. أما بعد, my dear brothers and sisters in Islam, we continue our introduction for Kitab al-Tawheed, and we will have quick recap and then proceed. In the last session, we talked about the utterance itself, the word itself, Tawheed, that it is used by all nations in their scriptures, either the word literally or the meaning of it. And it is the word Tawheed is the best expression and word that conveys the meaning of the true belief in God, in Allah. So if you read the scriptures worldwide, okay, you will find this concept exists therein. And then we went through the ayat in which Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala invited his worshippers to single him out and to worship him alone. And that is the meaning of Tawheed. إِنَّمَا اللَّهُ إِلَهٌ وَاحِدٌ وَإِلَهُكُمْ إِلَهٌ وَاحِدٌ. Oh, these are verses tell us about the oneness of Allah. وَمَا مِنْ إِلَهٍ إِلَّا إِلَهٌ وَاحِدٌ. There's no deity, there's no God except one. And by now, you should know what is the true meaning of La ilaha illallah. The meaning of it, لا معبود بحق إلا الله. There is no deity worthy of worship but Allah. Not, there is no God but God. That's wrong. And we explain that. It's wrong because the reality reflects the opposite. There are many deities are worshipped. There are many gods, small g, are worshipped. And you are saying there is no God that is worshipped but God, but Allah. There are many gods, small g, false deities, false objects of worship. That's one reason why to say there is no God but God is wrong, is not sufficient. Second thing, and this is far-fetched meaning, when you say there is no God but God, you are saying that everything worshipped is God, and that is pantheism, and that's the belief of all the pantheists, everything is God. So the true definition, the true meaning is there is no God, no true deity worthy of worship. There are many deities worshipped. There are false objects worshipped. But are they worthy? Do they deserve to be worshipped? The answer, no. So the only one who deserves to be worshipped is Allah. Glory be to him. This is what we covered in the last session. Then we went through the word Tawheed in the Sunnah, after the Quran in the Sunnah, and the famous hadith of Mu'adh, when the Prophet ﷺ sent him to Yemen, he told him, فَلْيَكُنْ أَوَّلْ مَا تَدْعُوهُمْ إِلَيْهِ إِلَىٰ أَنْ يُوَحِّدُ اللَّهِ. So the first thing you call them to, أَنْ يُوَحِّدُوا, يُوَحِّدُوا, Tawheed, to single out Allah and to worship Him alone. And also in the other hadith of Ibn Umar, where the Prophet ﷺ said, بُنِيَ الْإِسْلَامُ عَلَىٰ خَمْسَ عَلَىٰ أَنْ يُوَحَّدَ اللَّهِ. Islam is based on five pillars, and the first one is to يوحد الله, to worship Allah alone, subhanahu wa ta'ala. So the word Tawheed is used, and it is derivative forms are used throughout the Quran and the Sunnah of the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam. Also in the hadith of Amr ibn Abasa, where the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam told him, وأن يوحد الله لا يشرك به شيئا, in Sahih Muslim. أن يوحد الله, you worship Allah alone without associating any partner with him. So this is a quick recap of what we covered in the last session. Today we'll proceed. The second issue we are going to discuss today is the definition of Tawheed. The definition of, I hope that you are taking notes. I want you to be serious, committed students. So the second issue is the definition of Tawheed, linguistically and technically. So we'll go through the linguistic meaning of the word Tawheed from the linguistic perspective, lexically. So the word Tawheed, remember, I hope now by now you know how to check any word in Arabic in the dictionary. To go to get the root of it. You remove the additional letters. What are the additional letters? Sin, Hamza, Lam, Ta, Mim, Waw, Noon, Ya, Ha, Alif, all put together in one word. Sa'altumuniha. Sa'altumuniha. So now we have the word Tawheed. We want to find the root of it. Tawheed. So we put these seven letters and check. Is there any one of these letters? Is there in this word Tawheed? Yeah. The ta, we remove it. And what else? The ya, we remove it. So what we left with? Waw, ha, dal. These are the original letters of the root. So now you go to the dictionary and you look under wahada, wahada. And you'll get the different meanings. So the word tawheed is a derivative noun, اسم مشتق, derivative noun, or verb noun, مصدر, derived from the root وحدة. So the root is وحدة, which means to make something, okay, into a single entity. Many parts, you combine them together to make them one object, one entity. So many things, you combine them, put them together, so they become one single entity. So that is the meaning of the word wahada. For example, you will come across توحد المسلمون. توحد المسلمون. The Muslims came together. The Muslims were united. The Muslims formed unity instead of being fragmented and scattered. Now they are one body, one ummah. That's what Islam did to the Muslims, to the Arabs, when they became Muslims. They were scattered, divided among themselves. So Allah united them together. أَلَّفَ بَيْنَ قُلُوبِهِمْ, brought their hearts together. واذكروا نعمة الله عليكم إذ كنتم أعداء فألف بين قلوبكم فأصبحتم بنعمته إخوانا. So Allah reminds the Muslims, and the books of Tafsir, they mentioned, they said the reason behind revelation was Al-Aws and Al-Khazraj. Though they were cousins, but they were fighting each other. But Islam brought their hearts together, united them, and they were called after that Al-Ansar. So Allah is reminding them. So remember Allah's blessing and bounty on you, who brought your hearts together. أَلَّفَ بَيْنَ قُلُوبِكُمْ فَأَصْبَحْتُمْ بِنِعْمَتِهِ إِخْوَانًا. And by His grace, you became brethren. You became brothers. وَكُنْتُمْ عَلَى شَفَى حُفْرَةٍ مِنَ النَّارِ. You were on the brink of the pit of fire. Okay. About to fall into the pit of fire. فَانْقَذَكُمْ مِنْهَا. And Allah saved you from that. Also, we say, وَحَّدَ الْمَلِكُ الْبِلَادِ. وَحَّدَ الْمَلِكُ الْبِلَادِ. The king, وَحَّدَ, united the different parts of the country, different states, different provinces. This king, he brought all together under one flag. So became one state, one government, one strong country. وحد الملك البلاد. Put them together. So these are the different meanings of the word tawheed linguistically, from the meanings that are derived from this root. Now we will go through some quotes by the grammarians and etymologists. One of the famous etymologists is Ibn Faris, rahimahullah. He said, quote, "Wow," the letter wow, ha, ha, wow, ha and dal, these three letters, wow, ha and dal, together, when they are together, these three letters, they indicate, they denote singularity, oneness. For example, wahed, which means one, and that is unique. Wahed means the one, and it is unique. Unquote. This is reference Maqayis al-Lugha, his book, Maqayis al-Lugha, the different meters of the language. Volume number 6, page 90. So all the words that have these three letters, when they are together, you'll find the meaning indicates singularity, unity, oneness. For example, wahda, wahda, unity. See? Ittihad, ittihad, union, same thing. Okay. Wahda, unity. Wahda, wa, wahda. Wahda, unity. Wahda, loneliness. When you are alone by yourself, you have no one, you are one, you are alone. Wahda. Another figure, those are people of who are experts in the language. Abu al-Qasim al-Taymi, rahimahullah, said. Abu al-Qasim al-Taymi, rahimahullah, said. Quote, Tawheed is the masdar. The word Tawheed is the masdar. The verb and noun. Okay, the masdar is the word, the word from which we derive many things. We derive the verbs, etc. Tawheed is the masdar, verb and noun, of the verb of the verb wahada. So it is the masdar of this wahada, yuwahidu. توحيدا وحد يوحد توحيدا. So the توحيد is the مصدر of this فعل وحد. Like for example, ضرب يضرب ضربا. ضربا is the مصدر. Okay. توحيد is the مصدر, the verb and noun of the verb وحد, which means to single out. To single out. Unquote. The reference Al-Hujja fi Bayan Al-Mahajja. This is his book. Al-Hujja. Al-Hujja means, okay, the evidence, the proof. Fi Bayan, in explaining. Al-Mahajjah, the way. So this is what he called his book, Al-Hujjah fi Bayan Al-Mahajjah. Volume number 1, page 332. Another grammarian, an etymologist as well. These are towering figures I am mentioning. الشريف الجرجاني رحمه الله said. الجرجاني الشريف الجرجاني said, quote, توحيد linguistically means knowing and attributing singularity, oneness to something. Unquote. The reference, At-Ta'rifat. He has a book called At-Ta'rifat, Definitions. And those who know Arabic, I recommend them to have this book. Okay? At-Ta'rifat. You can download it from the net. So when you want to know the exact definition of the word, open the book and look for it. At-Ta'rifat, Definitions, page 69. So he's telling us that so now we are talking only from the linguistic point of view, perspective. So that he's saying in the Ta'rifat, Rahimahullah, Tawheed, lexically, linguistically, means knowing, to know, and to attribute, to ascribe. This singularity, that this something is single, one, to something. You attribute this meaning to something. Shaykh al-Islam ibn Taymiyyah rahimahullah said, now he is here giving the definition of the word of the Tawheed. Not linguistically, but lexically, not lexically, but technically. He said, Tawheed is the antithesis of shirk, the opposite of shirk, which is polytheism. So Tawheed is the opposite of shirk. Therefore, when a servant, male or female, actualize Tawheed in his or her life, that means he or she lives his life worshipping Allah and Allah alone, and he believes in his oneness and he obeys him and follows his teachings. That is the meaning of actualizing Tawheed. Because the Tawheed should control all your actions and all your limbs. Because this Tawheed, which is in your heart, dominates your entire being. So the Tawheed is the antithesis, the opposite of shirk, and when the servant, male or female, really practice the Tawheed and actualize it in his life or her life, and this Tawheed is Allah's light upon all of us, upon the servant, male or female, without associating anything with him, without associating any partner with Allah, then he or she is a muwahhid, is a monotheist, is a monotheist. So when you will become a monotheist, not polytheist, monotheist is the person who believes in the Tawheed, actualizes that in his life, leads his life, entire life, all his actions are based on the Tawheed, in that belief, believing in the oneness of Allah and singling him out, subhanahu wa ta'ala, and giving him all his rights that he deserves. So that is the definition given by Sheikh al-Islam Ibn Taymiyyah. So he explained it in that way. Now, the technical definition of Tawheed. And I want you to know, always there is a link and strong relation and correlation between the linguistic meaning, the lexical meaning, and the technical definition. So the lexical definition and the technical definition, okay, they overlap, and there is a strong connection between the two. For example, I'll give you one example. The word salah, salah. The word salah, salaya, if you go to the root, salayasli, you will know the meaning of the root. It means to make something hard, to burn something. Also, to connect to something. So these are linguistic meanings of the root. Now, if you read the technical definition and also salah, linguistically, it means dua, dua, to pray. That's why the definition that we in the books in English, salah, prayer, that's not correct. That's not correct. But what to do? This is the limitation of the English language. So the salah, now the technical definition, when you open the books of fiqh, they will define the salah that it is a group or a set of movements, actions, commenced or begun or started with the takbir. You say, Allahu Akbar. So they are giving the definition of the salah religiously now, in the religious context. So the salah in the religious context, the religious definition, technical definition, is this set of actions, a group or collection, a group of actions started with the takbir in you, say Allahu Akbar, and then the rest are actions. Reading, bowing, raising, prostrating, raising from prostration. Okay? So you started with the takbir and concluded, ended with the taslim. Salaam alaikum wa rahmatullah. Salaam alaikum wa rahmatullah. So this is the technical definition of the salah. Now, this salah, the ibadah that we do, if we try now to relate it to the linguistic meaning and the different shades and nuances of this word, salah, that among these words to make something hard. Yes, the salah will make you hard. The salah will make you a strong person. The salah brings you closer to Allah. The salah builds up your iman. The salah will entitle you by Allah's grace to the highest levels in the Jannah. One of the servants who were serving the Prophet ﷺ told him, have a wish. He told him, give me time to think. To think. And then the Prophet ﷺ reminded him, have you made up your mind? What is your wish? Finally, he made up his mind. He was thinking, what should I ask for? Dunya? No. Finally, he made up his mind and said, my wish, what I want, is to be with you in the Jannah. I am with you here in the dunya. I want to be with you in the Jannah. The Prophet ﷺ didn't tell him, granted, it is yours. No. He told him, أعني على نفسك بكثرة السجود. Help me against your nafs, against yourself, by doing more sujood, more salawat, more salah. The more salawat you do, the more prayers you do, nafil, you be entitled by Allah's grace to be in the Jannah. You will be granted admission to the Jannah by Allah's grace. Also, among the different meanings of the root, to burn something. Burn. La yaslaha, yaslaha, the hellfire. Illa al-ashqa. In the Quran. La yaslaha illa al-ashqa. That the hellfire, who will be roasted and burnt in it? Those who are rebellious. Those who are sinners. Those who are wicked. They will be roasted. Okay? If you have cane, you want to make strong cane stick to use. You cut this piece off from the tree and it is green, okay, wet, full of water. What they do? They put it on the flame. They subject it to the flame. So the water will evaporate and it will become very strong. So what does the prayer do to you? It burns your sins. It burns the sins you commit. That's why the Prophet ﷺ told us, if you commit a sin, get up, make wudu, and pray two rak'ahs. Salat at-tawbah, called Salat at-tawbah. Prayer of repentance. So as an expiation, to wash away my sins, the sins that you committed. You pray to rak'ahs. So it burns your sins, the salah. Now, coming to the word tawheed, always there is connection, as I explained, between the linguistic meaning and the technical meaning, or linguistic or lexical definition and the technical definition. So the technical definition now of tawheed, we know the meaning of word tawheed linguistically. So the technical definition is that to single out Allah and yuwahhid Allah wa yufrad Allah with respect to his divine acts. So you single him out, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, regarding his af'al, his actions, his acts. I want to to pay attention. Aristotle, the Greek philosopher Aristotle, okay, he said God created everything, then he left it to function by itself, and now he is not doing anything. God is idle. That's what he said. No. Allah is watching his kingdom. He runs his kingdom. Allahu la ilaha illa huwa al-hayyul qayyum. La ta'khudhuhu sinatun wala nawm. Allah is the ever-living, al-hayy, al-qayyum. He's the one who is running, all-watcher, watching his kingdom, controlling his kingdom. Not that he created it and that's it. Kullu yawm huwa fi shan. Every day Allah is doing something. Every day. The ulama and the books of tafsir, they say, he elevates the status of this one, lowers this one, he makes this one sick, he cures this one. Every day, he runs his kingdom. He makes earthquake here, he makes a volcano to erupt here. Every day, he is running his kingdom. Okay? He's seeing this planet, the Earth. This our planet is like timed bomb. Because the belly of it, the heart of it is boiling, boiling. The matter there is in liquid form, the lava, as you know. And of course, the pressure builds up. So if there is no vent for it, but to release the pressure, what will happen? It will explode. So Allah allows the earth to vent, to breathe. So he runs his kingdom and he knows what he's doing. He's al-hayy al-qayyum. لا تأخذه سنة ولا نوم. Neither sleep nor slumber overtakes him. Allah doesn't sleep because sleep is a sign of weakness, sign of fatigueness, tiredness. Allah doesn't get tired. That's why the people in the Jannah, they don't sleep. No sleep in the Jannah. No sleep. You don't sleep in the Jannah. Because there's no fatigueness. Where do you sleep in the dunya? Because you feel tired. After taking your meal, the blood is rushing down to your tummy. And you feel relaxed. And then you start yawning. And you want to doze off. That is not the case in the Jannah. No tiredness in the Jannah. You eat. And then you start sweating. That's how the waste sweating. No waste, no toilet. You just sweat, and the sweat is musk. So, all the time. We are awake, pleasure, pleasure, pleasure. So what Aristotle said is very wrong. Wrong, of course. So Allah, he runs his kingdom. Allah is not a concept in your mind. No, Allah is a reality. He exists, and he is outside his creation. The deviant sects like the Asha'ira, Maturidiya, and others, the concept of Allah is only here in their minds, not the reality that exists outside the mind. No. When you study their books, analyze what their statement, it's a concept only. So they are saying Allah la dakhil al-alam wa la kharijahu. Allah, God, is neither inside the creation nor outside the creation. So where is he? He doesn't exist. They worship only concept in their minds. But the reality, they do not approve of a real entity, real essence, real person of Allah. Because Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala huwa al-awwal wal-akhir wal-zahir wal-batin. Allah is the first and is the last. And is above everything and closer to you than anything. And the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam said, Kana Allah wa lam yakun shay'un ma'ahu. Kana Allah wa lam yakun shay'un qablahu. Allah was and there was nothing before him. Neither before him nor after him. Then he created the creation, all the creation, time, space, place, everything he created. Time is created, place is created. So now you have the creator. Al-awwal wal-akhir, and you have creation. So the question is, what's the relationship here between the creator and the creation? Is this creation inside the creator? He created everything inside himself. If you say that, this is kufr. It means everything inside God. This is rubbish. Ruled out. Is the creator inside the creation? After he created the creation, he entered and indwelt inside the creation. If you say this, then you are not a Muslim, because this is exactly what pantheism is about. The unity of being, that God is in everything. Then worship anything. You worship your iPhone, you worship the mic, you worship the telly, whatever, the table. You are worshiping God. Anything is God. Everything around you is God. You are God. That is what the pantheist believes as one of the leaders in his books. Said, وَمَا الْكَلْبُ استغفر الله العظيم. But quoting kufr is not making the one who quotes is a kafir. I'm only quoting. He said, وَمَا الْكَلْبُ وَالْخِنْزِيرُ إِلَّا إِلَهُنَا. The dog and the swine, the dog and the pig, they are not more than our God. They are our God. Because the pantheist, anything is God. The dog is part of this creation. So according to their belief, he is God. The pig is their God. وَمَا الْكَلْبُ وَالْخِنْزِيرُ إِلَّا إِلَهُنَا وَمَا اللَّهُ إِلَّا رَاهِبٌ فِي كَنِيسَةٍ. Allah is not more than the monk in the in his monastery or in the church. So the monk in the church is God. So that is, this is the belief of the pantheist. Or another one, okay, who said, "Ana man ahwa," this is Al-Hallaj, that is Ibn Arabi. "Ana man ahwa wa man ahwa ana nahnu ruhani halalna badana fa idha absartani absartahu wa idha absartahu absartana." And because of this, they killed him. Because Al-Hallaj, he believed in incarnation. God incarnates in the human body. And this is the belief of many people who still believe in that. Who believe that God came to the world many times in the form of a human being. Paul, who corrupted Christianity, he took the same idea of God incarnate, and he said God incarnated only once in the body of Jesus Christ. So this Al-Hallaj is saying, "Ana man ahwa wa man ahwa ana. Ana man ahwa. I am the one who loves, and I am the one who is loved. In other words, I am Allah and Allah is myself. Nahnu ruhani, we are two spirits. Halanna badana, we coexist and share the same body. So you see me? Fa'idha absartani absartahu. When you see me, you see him, see Allah. And when you see Allah, you see me. Another zindiq, he said, "Al-abdu rab wal-rabbu abd." Al-abdu rab. The servant is rab, Lord. So you are the servant. At the same time, you are Allah. Al-abdu rab wal-rabbu abd. Ya laytu sha'ri. Man al-mukallaf? I wonder. I'm confused. I don't know. Who is legally committed and obligated to worship the other? Which one? Ya laytu sha'ri. Man al-mukallaf? I wonder. I want to know. Who's the one who's obligated? In qultu abdun, if I say that I am a servant, فَذَكَ رَبْ. If I'm a servant, at the same time, I am Rab. And if I say I am Rab, أُنَّ يُكَلَّفْ. How come you make the Rab committed? That's why to them, there's nothing halal or haram. Everything is halal. This is the kufr. If you say God is everything, God is in everything. So Allah created the creation. Now, he did not enter into his creation, because this is pantheism. Nor that his creation inside him. What is the third possibility, probability, that he created the creation separate from him, and he is above all his creation? And this is the belief of the Muslims. And this is the meaning of God is in heaven, the absolute highness. Not God is in heaven in one of the seven firmaments or seven skies. That is childish mentality. And Ahlus Sunnah, when they say Allah fis sama, amintumma fis sama, the absolute highness that is above the arch and above everything. So those who are saying when you point towards up, you limit Allah, you confine Allah, say, shut up. You don't know what you are talking about. You put Allah in a place, in a space. Do you have gray matter? Don't you know He created the space? He created time. He created everything. So then how do you pose this question? Silly, childish question. Everything is created by Him, and He doesn't indwell in any of His creation. That's why the Prophet, when he asked the slave girl, where is Allah? She said, Bissama, and pointed. She is, her fitrah is choking the absolute highness, Bissama. Because anything above you, linguistically, is called Sama. وَفِي السَّمَاءِ رِزْقُكُمْ وَمَا تُوْعَدُونَ Sama here means the clouds. Allah sent down from the Sama, from the clouds. So these deviant sects, may Allah guide them, the Greek logic spoiled them, ruined them, poison their minds. And now they are active in the media and they are attacking the belief of Ahl Sunnah wal Jama'ah and the belief of the Salaf. And they are, subhanAllah, they are calling the Salaf, the followers of the Salaf, the followers of the Sahaba, they are mujassima, anthropomorphists. Anthropomorphists, that they are likening Allah, making Allah like a human being. Subhana Rabbil Azim. Subhana Azim. And yet, see, if you watch their clips or their lectures, the fitrah, you'll find them. Allah, and they do like this, Allah, His fitrah, talks. And what, because of the fitrah, He is pointing upwards. Because that is what embedded, we are hardwired like that. Though He's saying, we should not point, we should not, the Prophet ﷺ, he used his index finger. And he said, Allahumma ballagt, Allahumma fashhad. Who are you to say you cannot? Who are you? The Prophet ﷺ, in the night of the Mi'raj, he went up. At the east, west, down. He went up. The Mi'raj. Mi'raj! What is the Mi'raj? What is Araja? To ascend. You ascend to where? You go up, you go high. He enters the heavens. Who talked to him? Who talked to him on that night? Who imposed on him the five prayers? The screens of light. Whose veils were they? May Allah guide you. Repent. Come back to the Haqq. So Allah, as I told you, my dear brothers and sisters, is only concept in their minds. Concept. Reality, real existence of Allah, that Allah will come on the day of resurrection with the malaika. Allah spoke to Musa alayhi salam. Spoke to the Prophet Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam. So, the technical definition of Tawheed, to single out Allah. Okay? With respect to his divine actions, that his acts are divine and unique. And this aspect, or this type of Tawheed, called Tawheed al-Rububiyyah. Tawheed al-Rububiyyah, unity of Lordship, that Allah is the Rabb, is the Rabb. So he is, all his actions are unique. So we single him out. Who is the creator? Who creates? Allah. Who provides? Allah. Who sustains you? Allah. Who gives life to you? Allah. Who caused you to die? Allah. Nobody else. Who sends the rain? Allah. Not the stars. So when you believe that everything is from Allah, then you worship Him alone. But those who, they say Allah is the Razzaq, Allah is this, this, and this, and then they offer, okay, their ibadah, their acts of worship to other than Allah. Who answers the calls of the needy? Allah. So why don't you call Allah? Why do you call Abdul Qadir Jilani when you are in trouble? Because you don't believe. If you believe Allah is the one who will answer your prayers and answer your calls, who's alive? Is Abdul Qadir Jilani alive or dead? Of course he's dead. So why do you call the dead and you leave Al-Hayy Al-Qayyum, the ever-living? Why? Call Allah. إِذَا سَأَلْتَ فَاسْأَلِ اللَّهِ. The Prophet Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam was teaching the little child. إِذَا سَأَلْتَ فَاسْأَلِ اللَّهِ. You ask Allah. استعن بالله. If you seek help from Allah. وقال ربكم ادعوني استجب لكم. Your Rabb is telling you, call me, I will answer your supplications. Don't call anyone else. Because if you call Abdul Qadir Jilani, or Shafi'i, or Dusuqi, or Hussein, you make them partners with Allah by asking them. Because the one who deserves is the one who can answer your prayers. That's Allah. That's Allah. So you single out Allah regarding His actions. Who's the Razzaq? Allah. Really? You believe He is the Razzaq? Yes. So why are you working in a bank and taking riba? If Allah is the provider, why are you working in a bank dealing with riba, usury, invoking and incurring and bringing upon yourself Allah's wrath and anger? So, Tawheed Rububiyyah, that Allah, all his actions, all his acts are unique, and we single him out and we believe in them. And this is the one that we should call, the one we should worship. He's our Rabb. He's the one who nourishes us, nurtures us, raising us. Allah. So singling out Allah with respect to his divine acts, and this is called Tawheed al-Rububiyyah, unity of Rububiyyah or Lordship. Then another aspect of the Tawheed, singling him out regarding his names and attributes. So this his names, the most beautiful names. لِلَّهِ الْأَسْمَاءُ الْحُسْنَى فَادْعُوهُ بِهَا. The most beautiful names belong to him. So call upon him by his name. The names of Allah. And the names of Allah are not known, all of them, to us. Not 99 names. They're more than that. And they are husna. They are the most perfect names. And they have meanings. The names of Allah, they're not meaningless. They're meaningful. They have name, meanings. And the meaning of the name is what we call a sifa, or the attribute. Then, so every name carries within itself the sifa. And I mentioned this many times to you. Okay, so the attribute is carried within the name. The names like envelopes, and they have meaning. The meaning of the name is the attribute. So when you say Ar-Razzaq, the provider, what does it mean? The one who provides. As-Sami', All-Hearer, what does it mean? Allah hears. All-Seer, Al-Basir, what does it mean? Allah sees. Okay. So this is called Tawheed al-Asma' wa-Sifat. So I single Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala out. I believe in his oneness. I believe in his divine names and attributes, and that he is not like any of us. His names are unique. His attributes are unique. Because laysa kamithlihi shay. There's nothing like unto him. Nothing like Allah. So his names not like our names. His attributes not like ours. But the nature of the language, they are only names are common. We say a human being is Sami', Allah is Sami', but is Allah's hearing like the human being's hearing? Oh, of course. Allah hears everything. I can't hear everything. There are sounds now around me, I cannot hear them at high frequencies or very low frequencies. My ear is designed and created only to detect certain range of frequencies, audible frequencies. Others I cannot. They are around, they are here. But Allah hears everything. Allah hears everything. No confusion. Imagine on the day of Arafah, millions, different tongues. Allah hears all of them at the same time. Our mother Aisha said regarding Khawla bint Thalaba, the daughter of Thalaba, in Surah Al-Mujadila, or Al-Mujadila, when she came complaining about her husband, who told her that you are like my mother, and this is called Dhihar. Complaining to the Prophet ﷺ, Aisha said, I was next to them. Some of the conversation, the dialogue, I did not hear. Allah heard her. فسمع الله قول التي تجادلك في زوجها وتشتكي إلى الله والله يسمع تحاوركما. Allah heard the one who is arguing with you regarding her husband and complains to Allah. So Allah Sami', you Sami', but Allah made you Basir and made and He's Basir. Your sight is not like Allah's sight. Allah sees what is beneath the earth. We don't see that. We see only to a certain range. After that, we don't see. We are standing next to each other, and now you're saying, so long, goodbye. And you're leaving me and you're heading away. And your image started to diminish, 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 diminish until you are out of the range that my eye can function within. I don't see you, but you are there. I cannot deny, but I can see you. So all our faculties, my dear brothers and sisters, are limited. So let us respect our minds. And when we are reading about the attributes of Allah, we say his attributes are divine. They suit him. They suit his majesty and glory. And we have to understand that within the light of the ayah, laysa kamithlihi shay. There's nothing like unto him. Wa huwa as-sami'ul basir. Though he negated, then he affirmed. And he said, he is all hearer, all seer. Because these deviant sects, they negate and they deny the attributes of Allah. Like the Jahmiyyah, they say, these are only names but no meanings. They have no meanings. And some, they only approve of and sanction and accept. I think 7. Hayyun, Alimun, Qadirun, wal kalamu lahu, iradatun, wa kadhalika as-sam'u wal basaru. 7 only attributes they accept. Why these 7 attributes? Because they said this, the aql, the intellect, okay, can approve them, can accept them. So the reference they refer to, not the wahi, not what Allah said, not what the Prophet said, no. They're gray matter. This little creature, the aql, which can be confused, which needs guidance itself, and they are relying on it, the aql. So the second type of the tawheed and the aspect of it is to believe and single out Allah regarding his names and attributes. Tawheed asma' and sifat. And then we have tawheed al-uluhiyya. We single out Allah regarding our deeds, our actions. That all our actions should be offered exclusively to him and him only, seeking by that his pleasure and reward. So your salah, your siyam, your zakah, your hajj, your tawakkul, your love, your hate, everything that you do is only for Allah and Allah alone. May Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala guide us to the haqq and keep us remain on the haqq. And keep us remain steadfast in this haqq. And strengthen our heart to remain in this haqq. And keep us remain steadfast till we meet him. And find him pleased with all of us. May Allah guide our ummah to the haqq. And remove the clouds that cover their vision, their minds. May Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala bless us with the beneficial knowledge of righteous deeds. May Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala forgive us our faults, mistakes, and ignorance. And may Allah unite our ummah on the haqq. Unite our hearts on the haqq. And may Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala reward all of you, my dear brothers and sisters, immensely for your patience and attendance. Barakallahu feekum. جزاكم الله خيرا. السلام عليكم ورحمة الله وبركاته.
آمين. عليكم السلام ورحمة الله وبركاته. جزاك الله شيخ. We have received a few questions. Please let me know when you receive the first one.
Okay, go ahead.
Barakallahu fiik. Then the first question, if a traveler prays Jummah in the masjid, can he pray two rakats of Asr?
The answer yes. The answer yes, because the Jum'ah is the substitute of the Dhuhr. Though our Sheikh bin Uthaymeen is saying no, but we are not following just a person, we are following the Dalil. So the Jum'ah is the substitute of the Dhuhr. So the traveler, if he happened to be in a masjid and he prayed the Jum'ah, yes, he can pray Asr after that. Next.
The next question, regarding to be dutiful to parents in old age, how do we balance them and the rest of our duties? Jazakallah khair.
What are your duties? Are your duties better than your parents? I can't understand. What do you mean, my duties? You can strike the balance. If you mean by your duties you go to work, of course you have to go to work. But then when you come from work, look after your parents. Okay? But to neglect your parents who brought you up, then I warn you, if you don't take care of your parents, when you are old, you will be damned. You will be thrown by your kids. And you will drink from the same cup. This is my warning to everyone. The parents are the gates to the Jannah. We have to put them above our heads. Next question.
Barakallahu fiqh. The next question, what becomes of the relationship between the mother-in-law and son-in-law after divorce, especially if they had a good relationship over the years and they have been living within the family house? He will now become will he now become mahram to mother-in-law?
The answer yes, he's still her mahram, and she is just like his mother, the biological mother. So he can maintain the relation, good relation, with his mother-in-law. Okay, and for example, if she wants to go to Umrah, she can travel with him. Okay, next.
Barakallahu fiqh. The next question, why is it disliked to close our eyes in salah and in particular during sujood?
Because they said this is the way the non-Muslims pray. That's why the ulama say it is makruh. Next.
The next question, why do some groups of Muslims hate Sheikh Abdul Wahhab? In fact, they label us as Wahhabis and follow nothing but Ibn Taymiyyah.
The question I haven't received. Why do some group of Muslims hate Sheikh al-Islam, Sheikh Muhammad Abdul Wahhab? In fact, they label us Wahhabis, join the club, and follow nothing but Ibn Taymiyyah. They don't know. These are ignorant, jahil. They don't know that the most of the works and of Muhammad Abdul Wahhab based on the works of Ibn Taymiyyah. And he is referring to Ibn al-Qayyim and Ibn Taymiyyah. The problem of those brothers, the Sufis in particular, and those tomb worshippers who worship the saints and asking them. So when you call them to the Tawheed, they say you're Wahhabi. And the Wahhabis, they hate the Prophet ﷺ, and they don't believe in the Karamat. And they will start talking nonsense. Because they have been programmed and brainwashed by their Mawlana, by their peer, but the sheikh. They didn't read the books of Muhammad Abdul Wahhab rahimahullah. They didn't read his books. If they had they read his books, they would have found and discovered the truth. May Allah guide them. They call us Wahhabis. Alhamdulillah. Jazakumullah khair. So the Wahhabis are the ones who call to the Tawheed and ask the people to worship Allah alone. They are beautiful guys. May Allah bless the Wahhabis. Next.
Barakallahu feek. The next question: what about if someone passes away while he is calling upon a dead wali through the praying, fasting, and paying zakat, etc.?
He died while he is committing the shirk. He died in that position.
Yes, he passed away while he was calling upon a dead wali.
His affair with Allah. His affair with Allah. Because this is no doubt bad ending. Bad ending. Next question.
The next question: how can a young boy give away to his friends, non-Muslim?
Okay, the da'wah, everyone can practice it. Everyone can practice it. Children, they can talk to each other. Muslim children to none. Because the children, they are still on the fitrah. So the children should talk to them about Allah, God. God is one. Qul huwa Allahu ahad. Things like that. This is the child, they have no problem because up to now they are on the fitrah. When they grow up, they will be brainwashed by the parents. Okay? And if the one who is talking is now youth, young, they can talk. Okay? Talk about Tawheed. But this is the first thing. We don't move from the Tawheed. Because once you accept the concept, the correct definition and concept of Allah and God, everything becomes easy. Everything becomes easy. Next.
Barakallahu feek, Sheikh. The next question: is it true that on Wednesdays between Dhuhr and Asr, Salah, the Dua is accepted?
I'm not sure of this. If there is evidence, I ask the questioner to produce it. Next.
The questioner has said because on the day of Badr, the Prophet at that time it was accepted.
Again.
The questioner said because on the day of Badr, the Prophet made dua at that time and it was accepted.
Okay, and now this one, anyone's day is the day of Badr? Listen, my dear brothers and sisters. Our deen, as Allah said, the Prophet said. That's it. If there is anything explicitly stated in the hadith, we accept. There's nothing. Sorry. If there is, I'm not aware of, share with you, with me, and I will be grateful. Jazakallah khair. Next question.
The next question: is toothpaste allowed to use which has gelatin, which the type is unknown?
If this gelatin is derived from haram animal, etc., avoid it. Don't use it. And there are many types of toothpaste. They are not derived from, and you have this ingredient. There are many. So why you want to use only this brand? Next. And the Prophet ﷺ said, leave what you doubt.
Shall I read the next question, Sheikh?
Okay, go ahead, go ahead.
The next question. Someone was slaughtering near Salatul Jummah time. I told him you need to pray, and he said the time has passed. Would he, we bear the sin for allowing to continue? Secondly, the meat has been distributed, but not enough to give to some neighbors. Would it be okay to give it to the poor, or the neighbors have a greater right?
He's simple. He's simple for not going to for the salah and missing the salah. He's simple. But the meat is halal meat. But he is simple, and the, he was reminded, but he didn't go to the salah. This is what I understood from the question. But the meat that is distributed, giving to the poor. The poor and the needy, it is halal meat. Next.
And the second part of the question was, there wasn't enough meat to give to the neighbors. Would it be okay to give to the poor or the neighbors? Which one has greater rights?
If the neighbors are poor, yes. But if the neighbors are well off, will you give it to those who are in need, in more need? They are more in need. Next.
The next question is, if a debt has been written off, should it still be paid?
Written off, if you mean, well, I mean the one who the entitled to cancel this debt said, okay, this debt I will not ask for, I have forgiven him, etc. If that is the case, yes. No need to pay it. But if he didn't forgive the one who owes him this debt, then still it is a debt. But if it is written off, it is forgiven, alas, no need to pay it. Next.
Barakallah, this was the final question. Jazakallah khair. Thank you for all the attendees and all the students. May Allah bless you all and accept your attendance. I'll hand it back to the Sheikh to conclude the lesson. Barakallah feekum wa jazakum Allahu khairan. Assalamu alaikum.
Wa alaikum salam wa rahmatullahi wa barakatuh. Jazakumullah khair, my dear brothers and sisters. May Allah bless you, bless your family, elevate your status on this world and in Jannatul Na'im. Ameen. May Allah keep us remain steadfast on this beautiful deen until we breathe our last and find our Rabb pleased with all of us. Ameen. Until we meet, inshallah, in the coming session, I leave you in Allah's company and protection.